Proverbs chapter 3, let's try to finish this chapter tonight together with the Lord's help. Proverbs chapter 3, we're in verse 27. You know, as we go through life, and Proverbs is a great book to help us have wisdom to know how to live our lives and what God expects, what's safe for us. But as we live life, there is something that inevitably is going to happen. You run into people. I've heard somebody say, you know, life would be great if it wasn't for the people. But you have to interact with people. And you know, to interact with people, you need God's wisdom to do that. It's not just wisdom for your own life, how to live. It's wisdom from God to know how to function with other people. And some people don't do that very well. Well, God's Word gives us instructions of how to have wisdom with people. And that's what, there's a lot of different kind of people that are mentioned in these last verses of Proverbs chapter 3. Would you look at it with me? Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You look through these verses and all types of people are being mentioned. Verse 27 is just sort of anybody. Verse 28 and 29 talk about your neighbor. Verse 30 talks about people that maybe you are tempted to fight with. Verse 31 talks about oppressors or people that you are tempted to envy. Verse 32 talks about a froward individual. 33, a wicked individual. 34, a scorner. 35, fools. All these are people that you run into in your lifetime. And God gives us wisdom how to deal with them. The first thing, as we start here, is in verse 27. It could be your neighbor, it could be anybody for that matter. It's how you ought to respond to other people when you can do them good. You know, doing good to other people will go a long way in your relationships with them. If you want good relationships with people, then try to be a help and a blessing to other people. If you want bad relationships with people, just never try to do anything for anybody and just expect something from everybody. And you'll have bad relationships with people. Look at verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. That means if you can do good to somebody and you've got the power to do that and they are deserving of it or it's due them. Now, some people you don't need to do much for because they'll take what you do for them and they'll use it for the devil. That's not wise. It's not wise for you to pay the devil's bills is what I'm saying. But there are some people, he says, if it's due them, you say, well, what do I owe people? Well, you owe everybody to be good to them. Let's look at some New Testament scriptures because this really is a New Testament theme also. Look at Galatians chapter 6. And on your way to Galatians, grab Romans chapter 13. You know, when I start studying a passage in Proverbs, I said, you know, I'm going to get through this pretty quick. And then when I start studying, I said, man, is that, wow, there's another door. And it's just hard to get through some of this. There's so many truths to learn about the wisdom of God. And you need wisdom to how to deal with other people. And the first thing is, do good to people when it's due them. And when you can do good to them, do it. Because, you know, there may be a day you won't be able to do good for them. You won't have the power to do it. So God says, don't wait to be a blessing to somebody if you can be a blessing now. You may not be able to be a blessing to them later. Romans 13, he talks about what we owe people. He says in verse 7 of Romans 13, render therefore to all their dues. Who's he talking about here? The government. Tribute to whom tribute is what? Isn't it amazing tax season's coming up? You know, there may be a time you can't pay any taxes. And they come get what you got. If you got it, you better give it while you can give it. Amen. If it's due them and it's in your power, in the power of your hand to do it, do it. He says, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I'm not through reading. Romans 13, 8. Look at it. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. God says, don't owe anybody anything but love. That means we have a payment that we owe everybody, and that's love. And so if it's due everyone from my heart to love them when I have the power to show them that, I ought to do that. You know, there may be a day that you can't give to missions there as much as you want to. If you have the power to do something, you better do it while it is in the power of your hand to do it, because you may not have that opportunity one day. And that's not just about money. You know, when we're young, we have the physical ability to do certain things, right? And the older we get, even if we wanted to help somebody in a physical way, we may not have the power in our hand to do the help or the work that needs to be done. I would hate to have had to, in my 20s, when I pastored in my 20s, we went in the mountain and we cut all these trees down with chainsaws and drug them out of these locust trees, drug them out of the forest, and we made a fence to go all the way around the church. The guy made us do that to sell us property. It was a crazy thing, but we didn't have the money. We just went and cut all those trees down and worked like mules, you know. If I had to do that now, I'd be in the hospital a week. But then I had the power to do it. You try to pull out about 100 trees out of the forest, man. It's not an easy thing to do. We didn't have any mules. We had to do it by hand, you know, tumble them down the hill and cut them up. But what I'm saying is, look, don't wait till you can't do something to then think about, well, you know, when I was young, you know what that Bible says? That you ought to bear the yoke in your youth. While you have the power, you ought to do all you can do. Because there'll be a day you won't have that power to do it. Not just physically, not just financially. How about with our time? You know, sometimes we have more time than other times. Sometimes we have opportunity to invest our time into certain things. And then sometimes there's no time anywhere to do anything. So I need to make use of the opportunity that I have. I said Galatians 2, also Galatians 6, Galatians chapter 6. So the people that, how do I relate to people in wisdom? Well, if you can do something good for somebody while you have the ability, you better do it. You better take advantage of it. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. You see that? That means if it's in your hand, if you have the ability, you have the opportunity. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A lot of times we just live our life. We're not trying to do good for anybody. We're just trying to live life. And a happy life is doing things for other people, not yourself. You know why people are so miserable? Because their whole life is about themselves. That's why people are miserable. One of the reasons. Ephesians, look at Ephesians 4. Can you do something good for somebody? Why don't you do it? Might help your relationship with them. And if your relationship doesn't need any help with them now, it might later. Do you understand? If we would, with opportunity, do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith, it will help our relationship. It's just wisdom. It's not bribery. It's just wisdom. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 28, somebody says, well, I don't have the ability to, I don't have the ability to give, I don't have the strength, I don't have anything, so I'm not going to help anybody because I don't have opportunity. Well, sometimes you've got to make the opportunity. Watch this verse, Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. What about that in the church, people stealing? That's awful. Let him toil still no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Here's a guy that goes to work so he can have the opportunity to do good to somebody else. He doesn't go to work to make his life better. He goes to work so he can have more, so he can be good to somebody else that doesn't have something. Don't get quiet now, because I just wanted to read that and go to the next verse. But that's true. You want to help your relationship with other people? Make an investment in somebody else's life where it'll cost you something. And I'm not just talking about poor people. You know, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. That's okay. But he says, especially to those of the household of faith. Especially try to find an opportunity to minister to those that are part of God's family. You know who else he says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. You know who else that would apply to? You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know what the Bible says? The husband and the wife owe each other something. He says the spouse ought to render due benevolence. And you know, I know that's talking about a physical thing as well, a married life physically. But also, you know, guys, there may be a time that you can't give your wife any money. If you're up in finances 1 month, it might be best not to spend that all on hunting. Maybe do something for your wife while you have the chance. It's a good month. Did I lose anybody there? While you have opportunity, do good to somebody to whom it is due. Now, also, that's in a physical context. You have the power to meet each other's need. You need to do that. You need to stay together. You need to give each other that closeness, that intimacy, that love that you owe one another. God says, hey, if it's in your power to do it, do it. Don't withhold. So we owe a lot of people. You know who else we owe? We owe the gospel to the lost world. And many times God gives us opportunity. It's in the power of our hand to give a witness, to give a tract, to give the truth to somebody. We need to take advantage of those opportunities. Of course, ultimately, all things are owed to God. We need to give the glory that's due to His name. We need to give Him what He deserves from our heart, from our life. You give Him your best praise. One day you may not have a voice. If you give Him money, give Him money. You may not have any one day. You can give Him labor, give Him labor. You may be flat on your back. You can't do anything for God anymore. So we have something due to God. The Bible talks about the servants of the Lord are due something. 1 Corinthians 9, he says, you know, nobody goes to warfare at his own charges. He's talking about they which live, that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He talks about the servants of the Lord. And those people that are serving Christ ought to give them double honor. We got these missionaries coming in. You know what? It is in the power of our hand to help these missionaries. And by the grace of God, we're going to lay it on them. We're going to be a blessing to them. Now, there may be a year we won't have that ability. But if they're serving God, I want to be a blessing to them. I want to give them their due. Because they're serving God. They're doing God's work, and they're doing it on our behalf as well. So if it's in your power to do it, do them good. Well, also, what people do, they deserve the pay for their work. James 5:4 talks about people being defrauded, not giving the pay for their work. All right, go back to our text. How do I have wisdom with other people? When it's in the power of your hand to do them good, do it. He says, if it's in the power, and then verse 28, watch. Here's the excuse you can give to not be good to other people. Proverbs 3:28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Quit putting people off, he says. You know, we're good at putting people off. Why? Because if we put people off enough, then they'll quit bothering me. He says, if you can be good to somebody, don't put them off. Don't say, well, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year. He says, if it's by you, and it could be not just money, it could be lending them something, helping them with something? He said, do it while you got the chance. So now we're talking to our neighbors now. Y'all got good neighbors? Look at verse 29. He mentions neighbors in 28. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. You know what he's saying? He said, look, if everything's going well and everything is secure and your house isn't being broken into and everything, you know, don't devise evil against your neighbor. Don't come up with these bad imaginations about people that live around you. If everything is safely and secure, you know, the mind of man is crazy. They get to thinking about their neighbor, you know. And before long, they start just dreaming up something. People do that in the church even, or with friends. They have vain imaginations or evil imaginations. God says, don't do that. Don't be imagining things what other people think about you. Don't be imagining the evil that somebody else is doing. You'll find out enough evil people are doing without imagining any of it. Devise not evil against your neighbor. That could mean something else. You know, that law talked over and over again about our relationship with our neighbors, and it says, don't covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, or their house, or their servant, or their ass, or anything that's your neighbor's. In other words, don't think in your mind, how can I get what they've got? He said, that's not the way to have a good relationship, is to devise evil between other people. You know why some people can't get along with other people? Because they're always imagining the worst in somebody else's life. Well, they hate me. Well, maybe they don't. Talk yourself into thinking they don't hate you. Look at chapter 6, Proverbs 6. Well, I know they hate me. No, they probably don't think two thoughts about you. Don't worry about it. Devise not evil. Quit imagining all these things that aren't real. We live in a fairy tale world today. Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 18, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God says that he hates that. Quit thinking the worst about every situation. You will not get along with people that way. Give them the benefit of the doubt till you can't. Don't devise evil imagination. Proverbs chapter 14, another verse on that. Proverbs 14, verse 22. I remember living in a smaller town than this, and all your neighbors knew when you mowed the grass and when you watered the flowers and... What are they doing now? The lights are on at 12 o'clock midnight. Maybe they forgot to turn them off. Just don't imagine things with people. It'll hurt your relationships. Proverbs 14, 22. Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In other words, instead of thinking about the evil, try to devise or plot and plan the good parts instead of the bad parts. Wisdom with people. What is due them? Your neighbors. Let's get another group of people. Proverbs 3, verse 30. Proverbs 3, 30. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. So he says, you want to have wisdom with people? Do good to people. Two, quit devising evil in your mind about everything they're doing. And number three, quit fighting with people. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. You know, most people argue and strive with people that are not hurting them at all. I mean, there's enough, all that's carnality. There's enough fights for God without striving with people without a cause. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, you know, there's strife. Are ye not carnal? You're babes. Babies fight and fuss. If you want to have good relationship with people, quit arguing, quit striving, quit fighting. You say, well, that's, no, it takes two to fight. Be the one that don't do that. Well, just let them argue at the door. Let them argue with a brick wall. Just smile and pray. And so that's real hard. Strive not. That's what he says. You cannot have good relationships with people if you're fighting with them. And you know what? You're never going to win an argument. Can I just help you? You're not going to win an argument with your wife. You're not going to win an argument with your husband. You're not going to win arguments with your kids. You're not going to win arguments with your parents. So just quit fighting. You think the more belligerent and the more points you have, they're going to say, well, that's right. Have you ever seen anybody in an argument like that? You know, that makes good sense. No, it's just, here comes back. You say, well, preacher, there's serious things. Well, there's a way to deal with serious things, and it's not with fighting about it. There's a prayer closet for that. If people would spend half the time praying for people that they do fighting and striving with people, a lot more help would be given. He said in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I know that can sometimes get stretched and it's not possible, but that book says follow peace with all men, Hebrews 12:14. And here's a verse for quarreling. That's about this strife. Strive not with a man. Wisdom with other people. What do I do? Well, quit quarreling with people. Colossians 3:13. He says, forbearing one another. Every argument at home, at church, and at work can be helped with this verse. Colossians 3:13, if people would just obey it. Forbearing one another. Something's got to bear. There are people, I just ain't going to take it anymore. Not going to take this. Well, you're going to take something else. There are a lot of things in life you got to take that you just have to bear. And saying you're not going to take them does not get out of the problem. It's going to make it worse a lot of times. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. A good dose of forgiveness. You know what? I'm looking at some teens right here. Some of you need to forgive your parents. Some of you are never going to have a good relationship with your parents unless you start forgiving them. And you know, if you're a parent, you need to have some forgiveness for your children as well. And some wives in here probably need to forgive their husbands, have a forgiving attitude. Some husbands in here probably need to have a forgiving attitude to their wives. I've watched church people through history as I've been in church all these years, just couldn't forgive each other. Just that's a terrible way to live. It's a bad relationship. He said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You'll never get along with anybody you can't forgive. And I'm not overlooking repentance. I'm talking about that forgiving spirit that's in your heart. It's not overlooking sin. When he said strive not, he didn't say rebuke not. You understand? The Bible tells us to rebuke. The Bible tells us to reprove. People have to be corrected. But that's different than just fighting with people. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, there's that word. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know what happens with people that constantly quarrel with other people? It never stops. They quarrel with everybody. Everybody they're close to, they'll quarrel with. And the only people they don't quarrel with are people they never get close enough to quarrel with. Well, there was some wisdom. You know, as we serve God, the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive. We don't argue with people. You know, I'm not going to waste my time arguing with somebody to try to talk them into the truth. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'll rebuke them. I'll even preach to them. But I'm not going to argue with them. I don't want to strive with them. I'm not going to waste my time. Now, that doesn't mean we're not earnestly contend for the faith. That doesn't mean we don't fight the good fight of faith. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about an argumentative irritability. You know what it means to be irritable, don't you? You want to get along with people? Quit being irritable. That is a work of the flesh. Strife is a work of the flesh, Galatians 5:20. Listen now, this is the joyful book, Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let other esteem other better than themselves. He said in James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You want to have good relationships with other, wisdom with other people, don't fight with them. Now go back to our text. And while you're going back there, I want to give you one other verse on that. In 1 Corinthians 6:7, he was talking about people that even Christian people taking other people, Christians, to law. I mean, people were being done wrong in the Corinthian church. And Paul wrote this, and this hard. He said, why don't you rather take the wrong, and suffer yourself to be defrauded? Instead of fighting for people treating you right, he said, why don't you just take it? That's deeper Christianity than most people want to live. But look, everybody wants good relationships with other people, but they don't want to be like Jesus Christ to get them. The wisdom in the book of Proverbs is strive not with a man. Look, I'm not finished with that verse, though. There's a part I didn't mention. Strive not with a man, look at that, without cause. That's like what Jesus says, you know, don't be angry at your brother without a cause, Matthew 5:22. There are some reasons to get angry. There are some fights worth having. If there is a cause, if there is a biblical cause, if there is a godly cause, but usually in our interpersonal relationships, that's not what the problem is. But there is a cause sometimes. Jesus did whip some people out of the temple. There is a reason not to just get along with everybody sometimes. So, but it has to do with the cause of the Lord and the cause of truth and righteousness and the cause of God. We never go along with sin. We never go along with anything contrary to the Bible or to the will of God. But verse 30, that's help for our relationships with people. Strive not with a man without cause. Look at it. If he have done thee no harm. Now here's the problem. In our age of self-centeredness, people think everybody does them wrong. They think people have done it wrong. They don't even know who they are. We've got a group of people in this country that think you owe them. And they don't even know who you are. But you've done them wrong. Maybe because of the color of your skin. Or maybe because of the amount of income you make. Or where you live. Or what you believe. You owe them something and you've harmed me. That's not what he's talking about. God says with our relationship, look, you know, if your husband or wife isn't a drunk or cheating on you or beating on you, if they are trying to live a godly life in any manner, think about the fact that you could be living with somebody that's really doing you harm. That might help your relationship. And harm is not just somebody not talking to you the way you don't want them to talk to you. Well, my friend did me harm, so I'm going to fight with him. They texted me something I should... Don't be that thin skin. Don't be a marshmallow. Don't be a snowflake. Nobody's... And if somebody did slap you in the face, what did Jesus say? It's just a slap. It's not like they shot you. But you know, when you're so guarded about how everybody treats you, it's easy to strive with people because you think you've been wronged. And you know what the truth is, church? Look here. Every one of us in this building has hurt somebody. There's not an exception in this room. So just don't fight with people. Next, verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor. Proverbs 3:31. Wisdom with people. What am I supposed to do with them? Envy not. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Quit envying other people. If you want to ruin your relationship with other people, start envying them. Envy is rottenness to the bones, the Bible says. Why would you envy an oppressor? That even sounds a little strange. Envy thou not the oppressor. Why would anybody be envious of an oppressor? Because an oppressor has power over other people. You know, some people are so envious of power, they will do anything to get it. And God says, when you look at these other people that oppress people, and they have power, and they have control over other people's lives, and they always get their way, but they get it in an evil way, in an evil fashion, he said, in a satanic fashion, really, because oppression is something of the devil. God doesn't oppress people. He will let you go to hell if you want to go to hell. He will not force you to be saved. He will not even force you to do right. He lets you make that choice. But there are people in this world that bring such oppression in other people's lives to control them so they can have power over them. And God says, do not envy anybody that's like that. Don't be envious. You know why? Because oppressors are never happy. Oppressors don't have the smile of God and the blessing of God. They have God's frown. They have God's disapproval. Don't envy somebody that doesn't have God's blessing on their life. Number five, lastly, verse 32, we have a list of people here. And every time he uses a bad illustration, he puts a good illustration with it. 32, watch it. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. You see the contrast. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. The wicked and the just are contrasted. Verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners over here. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. So he contrasts the scorner with the lowly person. Verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So he ends it with a crescendo of a wise on one side and a fool on the other side. So now, what am I learning from this about my relationship with people? When I have to deal with froward people, when I have to deal with wicked people, when I have to deal with scorning people, when I run into fools, and look, if you live in this world, you will run into fools. You will run into the wicked. You will run into somebody that scorns the truth and the things of God. How do I relate to them? You look at this passage and you say, I'm not going to get worried about it too much because, look at it again. He says the froward is abomination to the Lord. Why am I going to get so bothered and put out by the froward when God abhors them? You know what abomination is, don't you? It's extreme hatred. You know, we live in a world where people don't believe that about God. God does abhor some things. There are things that are an abomination to God. So he says, when you run into the froward people, don't get all bothered and overly worried about it because God looks upon them in an abhorrent way. They are an abomination to God. Look at it. But his secret is with the righteous. Just think about how much God has let you in on things that he is never going to tell the froward man. Ephesians chapter 1, we preach through all that. God gives us an understanding of so many things and fills us with the knowledge of his will. And the secret things belong unto the Lord. And he reveals those secrets to his servants. God shows us and tells us so much because we are not froward, but we belong to the group of the righteous. We're made righteous in Jesus Christ. So God lets us in on all the secrets. Why would I get so bothered about the froward when they don't have a clue about life and they don't have a clue about eternity? They don't know the secret to life. If you react to these people or respond to these people the way your flesh wants to, you'll forget God's going to deal with all these people. You don't have to do that. He's going to deal with it. Don't get bent out of shape. Look at the next verse. The curse of the Lord, verse 33, is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Why would I get so bent out of shape and worry so much about the wicked that are around me? Why would they trouble me so much that I would react and respond and try to avenge myself when God's curse is on them? But God's blessing is on me. You see that? If I know that God's blessing is on me and God's curse is on this other person, who's in bad shape? Not me. I need to think about the blessing on me. And when this wicked person is interjected into my life, I just say, well, these people got God's curse them. But man, I've got the blessing of the Lord. By the way, he says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. You know what that tells me? That tells me that those children sometimes are have a consequence of what kind of house they are. By the way, let me tell you something, young people. That's one reason why you ought not to be so gung-ho about running out of a blessed house. Because, by the way, when a young person leaves that house and makes their own house, listen now, then they will either incur the blessing or the curse of God in their own house. Have you ever noticed that? As long as someone is in a good house, a Christian home that's blessed by God, God sort of overshadows them. But when they get out from under that blessing and they establish their own home, that home is not going to automatically have the blessing of God like the home they came out of. The blessing of the Lord is in the house of the just. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. And there's a great thing that house, while those kids are still there, they can enjoy that blessing of the Lord. You better be careful. You see? Every house is either going to have the blessing of God on it or the curse of God on it. The blessing of the Lord, that's what makes rich. So look, why am I going to get all bent out of shade about the wicked when everything they touch is cursed? If the blessing of God is on your life, that ought to be enough to get you through your relationships with other people. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Yeah, but the blessing of God's on your life. God's with you. Don't get bent out of shape with the wicked. The scorners, you know what God says he's going to do to the scorner, verse 34? Surely he, that's God, scorneth the scorners. God's going to scorn the scorners. Don't get put out of shape with a scorner. God's going to scorn them, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Why am I going to be bothered with a scorner when God keeps giving me grace? That sounds just like the New Testament, doesn't it? He giveth grace unto the lowly. That sounds like James. That sounds like 1 Peter. He gives grace to the humble. How do I deal with other people? Well, when you come in contact with a scorner, you don't have to get the best of them. You don't have to get back at them, because God will give you grace as long as you stay low. And with that scorner, God's going to scorn them himself. He'll take care of them. 35. The wise shall inherit glory. You know, if you know you're going to inherit glory, why are you going to get so bothered by all the fools that are around you? And there are plenty of fools around us. Right? Oh, preacher, how do I relate? You get glory after a while. You know what their promotion is? The only promotion a fool has to look forward to is shame. Shame shall be the promotion of fools. I shouldn't be worried about the fools that are causing me such distress in my life, because ultimately all they get is shame, and I will be able to enjoy the very glory of God. I'll be conformed to His glory. I'll share in the glory of Jesus Christ. I'll be just like Him. I'll inherit the glory of God. So what are you going to do to me to make my life so bad? You see what I'm saying? If a Christian in his relationship with other people, especially these kind of people, will keep his eyes on the glory, he'll not be bothered with what's going on right now.